Numbers 24. So we have to understand where Numbers is in the chronology of events as we know them in the Bible. The Exodus advances. The Hebrews have left Egypt. They are traveling to the Promised Land. At this time, we see, how long were they wandering through the desert? So a 40-day journey took 40 years, right? So 40 years they've wandered through the desert trying to get to their Promised Land. And, you know, don't forget, they had already been to the Promised Land, sent spies in, and then decided it was too much. And so God had taken away all those above the age of 20, had died in the wilderness. So just a few of them left at this point. But they've reached a point. They are on the east side of the Jordan River. Remember the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, the Dead Sea. They are almost adjacent to Jericho. Remember Jericho being one of the first conquests. And so they're right there. Man, you could see the Promised Land from where they are. You know, they're so close. They're almost there. They might not even know it, but they're almost there. And there's a king named Balak. You've got the regions. Remember where Moses went and he was in the land of Midian, right? And then above that you have Moab. And so as they've traveled through there, the leaders of Moab and Midian have joined with Balak, and they say, we've got to do something about all these people. And they've gone to contract a man they know to have power and influence, a man named Balaam. If you recall that Balak went to Balaam and said, I need you to come do something. I need you to curse these people. And so Balaam says, well, it doesn't matter what you will pay me. I've got to talk to God about it first. And he went to God, and God said, well, if they come to you in the morning, you can go with them. And so Balaam said, well, I guess I can go. So he started packing his stuff. As soon as it was morning, he packed up and started going. But he missed the part where God said, wait for them to come back and ask you again. By the way, that's very helpful if you've ever used that in your life. Sometimes you want to do something for somebody, or sometimes you want somebody to do something for you. But rather than just keep asking, we can just wait. Wait for them to come to us. And so that's what he did. He waited. Or he didn't wait. He went ahead of God. He went ahead of God's instruction, and he went out. And of course, that's when his animal kept running him into the wall and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, we're on with the journey at this point. And if you go to just above chapter 24 to chapter 23 and verse 27, Balak said to Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee to another place. In other words, the problem, Balaam, is you're just not seeing it. The problem is you are not conceiving the size of this people, of this army of people, the population of these people who are coming to invade our land. You see, the problem is, the situation is, the reputation of God in Israel has preceded them. And Balak says all the enemies against the Jews, against the Hebrews, have been defeated. And if we let them come here, they're going to defeat us. Well, I got news for you, Balak. They don't want what you got. All they want is to get where they're going. They don't want to bother anybody on the right hand, anybody on the left hand. In fact, one of the problems that they ran into is they said, can we just have passage? And the king said, no, you can't have passage. He said, look, we're not going to mess with anything. We're not going to take anything. We just want to walk through here. He said, no, you can't do that. And remember, God defeated them because they wanted to keep the Hebrews from passing by. And so Balaam would not curse Israel. And Balak says, well, if you would understand how big this problem is, right? You're relying on prayer. Right? You don't get it. This is a bigger problem than prayer. You ever feel that way, or ever have somebody tell you something like that? And you say, well, let me pray about it. Oh, you want to pray about it. Blah, blah, blah. I want to pray about it. You know why? Because God can see it better than I can. He knows what's on the other side of it. He knows why it's there in the first place. He knows me. And if I get ahead of him, I'm going to defeat myself. And Balaam said, all I can do is ask God. And if God says to curse him, I curse him. No problem. I don't mind doing it. I don't have any relationship with him. I'll do it if God says okay. No emotional attachment, but God's got to say it's okay. God said it's not okay. He said, I can't do it. Well, they come over here and look again. It's not going to change anything, is it? Verse 1, chapter 24. Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. That was it. This is the point at which, understand, this is the point at which Balaam got it. Of all the things he's been through, number one, the Lord spoke to him before he left his house. Number two, the Lord, you know, got in front of his animal and wouldn't let him pass. And then finally caused that animal to speak to Balaam, if you recall. And still, he doesn't get it. Still, it hasn't really reached him and gripped him the way it needs to. Guys, there's so much about life and about God and about the world and about the church that we kind of go along with, but we don't really get it. But once we catch it, once it gets a hold of us, it's like what happened with Balaam here. Balaam looked out and he saw from that vantage point, he sees the people of Israel camped out. Describe that to me. Would you describe that to me? What does it look like? You're on that mountain, okay? You're looking down in the valley, and you see the nation of Israel, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people camped. What does it look like? An army? Are there tents? What color are the tents? You see, because in my mind, when they say tents, I was, you know, in my image, I was thinking like white tents. I don't know why, because, you know, Civil War, I guess. I was just thinking like canvas tents. But that's not what Balaam saw at all. He says, so Balaam saw it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He got it. He went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. He wasn't, you know, worshiping and praying and dancing and trying to get God's attention. None of that. He set his face toward the wilderness. Where's the wilderness? The wilderness is where they are. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. Okay? Like organized with the different tribes. Sectioned off. Segregated. And their tents. And the Spirit of God came upon him. I mean, when he got out of the way, you see what he did? He got out of the way. He did not seek enchantments as at other times. Some, I don't know, it's probably been a long time since I've done it. But there have been times where at the beginning of the service, I've held an invitation, altar call. There have been times where before the preaching, I've initiated an altar call. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because when people come through those doors, they already know what they need. They already know if they're in God's will or out of God's will. They already know if God's calling them to something. They've already got the Spirit of God burdening them about something. And they don't have to listen to us sing. And they don't have to listen to us pray. And they don't have to listen to us preach for them to know they need to get right with God. They already know it. Well, Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in tents, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and it was like he was just communing with God. He was in the presence of God and perfect fellowship with God, and he was inspired, the breath of God upon him. And it says, we'll read it one time. He says it several times. We'll read it just this one time. Verse 3, he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Okay, all that. What's he telling us? He's telling us that he is completely overcome by the presence of the Spirit of God inside of him. That's what he's saying. Ray Stevens would say, something got a hold on me, right? That's what it is. And so the Spirit of God, he's gotten himself out of the way, and the Spirit of God has filled him and is controlling him and has anointed him. And Balaam is saying this where Balak can hear it, but he's in the presence of God. Guys, when we have prayer time, that ought to be our sense right there. When we have prayer time, whether it's at night or in the morning or in the bedroom or in the kitchen or wherever, at the tree stand or wherever we are, when we go before God or even driving down the road, when we are in the presence of God, it ought to change us in the way we feel and the power that we feel in God's presence. And that's what he's saying. Verse 5, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. Look, as he looks over, he doesn't see a whole bunch of white canvas tents. There's purple and red and orange and blue and yellow and black and white. He sees all these different colors of whatever material they had or whatever colors they chose, right? People that want to stand out and want people to know that's our house. Like, what color is your house? You ever seen a house and you thought, well, they really want everybody to see that house, right? They want everybody to know it's there. And so that same uniqueness was attached to each one of those tents, and then it was divided into the different tribes of people. But he says, as I look at, it's like a valley, all those tents. It's like live aloes. It's like, you know, and think about those plants when they flower, right? He's thinking about beauty. It looks like a garden out there. Looks like trees set up by the river. It's beautiful. When you stop looking at them as invaders, when you stop looking at them as a threat, when you stop looking at them as intimidating or as trouble, when you just stop and just look, and that's what Balaam did. And when he just paused and looked, the Spirit of God came on him and he saw the beauty. That's what we need to do. No, the problem is we see the problems with people, but we need to let God fill us so that we can see the beauty in people. We look at our town and we know the bad stuff about our town. We know, watch the news, and there's trouble and there's crime and all that. And when we get that in our mind, we say, oh, well, what a rotten place to be. But see, God's got us in a different position. When the Spirit of God gets on us and anoints us and we look over, what do we see? We see people who need Jesus. We see people who have an opportunity at a better life. We see homes that are broken that can be healed, and children who are mistreated who could be loved. And we see marriages that can be fixed. And we see all these relationships and all this trouble, you know, and all this quarreling and struggling, where people can find Jesus, and that struggle can be replaced with peace. That's what we ought to see, instead of being scared of it. Verse number 7. He shall pour the water out of his buckets. His seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Who is this his he's talking about? Talking about Israel. Talking about Jacob. His king shall be higher than Agag. What king is he talking about? Talking about King Jesus. Look, we go all the way back to the book of Numbers, and we find Balaam, right? And the most we really know about Balaam is his animal talked to him, right? Because Peter talked about that. The New Testament. We see Balaam telling us about the Messiah that's coming. About King Jesus that's coming. Oh, it's a long way off. It's hundreds of years in the future. when Jesus came and lived on the earth. And it's still today, it's out in the future when he'll come and reign from Jerusalem. But his kingdom shall be exalted. Look at verse 8. God brought him forth out of Egypt. Oh, you ever read something and you said, that's got two meanings to it. Well, who are we looking at? We're looking at the Hebrews. What are we finishing up? The Exodus. Where did they come from? Out of Egypt. But I seem to remember Joseph was warned in a dream and fled to Egypt. And then when they left Egypt, they went to Nazareth. And what does the Bible say? That Jesus was brought up out of Egypt. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. We're talking about the Exodus, and we're talking about King Jesus. By the way, unicorn, that term, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about what the Bible's talking about there. What is that? A rhinoceros. It's one of the strongest animals known. A rhinoceros. And it's got that big old horn. Well, that's a unicorn. It's not quite as pleasant as the fantasy pictures we see, is it? Anyway. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. What are we talking about? Well, he shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. Are we talking about the nation of Israel? Yes, we are. Are we talking about the king? Yes, we are. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion, verse 9. Who shall stir him up? Well, hold on a second. What do we call Jesus? The Lion of Judah? Right? The Lion of Judah? He says, here's the question. He says, as he looks out at all these people that are camped in perfect peace, not bothering anybody, and Balaam says, you really want to stir it up? Do you understand the strength that's behind them? The strength of a unicorn? To break the bones and to defeat the enemies? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. We need to be mindful of that. God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. But it wasn't just a promise to that one man. It was a promise to a people. We've got to be careful. I know that there's so much being said about Israel and, with this conflict with Gaza, a war. It's not just a conflict. And I know there's a lot being said. Mind your tongue when you talk about Israel. Bless those who bless Israel. And he curseth those that curse Israel. Now remember, Balaam standing here looking at them, talking about how wonderful they are and how beautiful they are and how strong they are, and the prophetic coming king. Balak standing over here just steaming, stewing. Look at verse 10. Balak's anger was kindled against him, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Remember, they had gone different. He said, oh, well, come over here and look. No, still going to bless them. Well, come over here and see what it is. No, still going to bless them. Come over. So every time Balak tried to get Balaam to curse him, he just blessed him. Verse 11, therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, thou hast kept thee back from honor. You did this to yourself, Balaam. And Balaam saying, who wants to work for you? I work for God. You think you can push me around? Balaam said, verse 12, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sent unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. That's my limit. Right? That's what drives me. Balaam said, I can't do anything outside of that. I gotta trust God, and if God says no, and get your feelings hurt, you can be mad. But I'm gonna go with God. What I gotta do. Verse 14, now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. He says, Balak, I'm not done yet. Man, you're offended now. Get ready, because I'm going to tell you more. And he goes on and he tells him, you know, trouble's coming to what's here. Edom, Moab, and Midian, Amalek, the Kenites, all these that are going to be overwhelmed by the nation of Israel. But look what he says in verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. Guys, that's a great promise, isn't it? Do we know God, we sing about God, we worship God, we talk about God. I shall see him, but I don't see him right now. But I know I'm going to. And I can rest in that. I have faith, I have hope in that. I can rest in that. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Not here. It's not, you're trying to make this happen today. I can wait on the Lord. I can wait. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Who are we talking about? A scepter shall rise out of Israel. You see, we're talking about the strength of God. We're talking about the King of Kings. It brings to mind what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5. He says, you study the scriptures. These are they which speak of me. As we can find Jesus, the best thing when we're reading the Bible is where's Jesus in the Bible? And we've seen him, right? We saw him in Genesis. And we've seen him throughout Genesis. We see him in Exodus and through the Exodus all the way. We see the promise of Christ. And Balaam puts it great. He says, I shall see him, but not now. Not yet. It's not even close. We have faith and we wait. That's where we have to be. We have to rest in our faith. Balaam would not go beyond what God told him. He would not compromise his integrity as a man of God. We've got to be Christians of integrity, so people know they can trust our word and then count on us to be who we say we are. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We love Jesus. We love your word. Pray that you will draw us to you, that you will teach us your word. As we look and see the prophecy, we know that that part, some of it has been fulfilled already. And yet we stand in that same gap, having the promise and having the hope and waiting to see with our own eyes and to feel with our own hands your Son. God, I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, fill us with hope and patience and peace. Rest us in your love. Forgive us our sins. Give us grace as we go and bring us back again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.